My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Kristen Rosero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. And it was funny. We talked pretty extensively last week about how a week from our last show that everything could change, everything could flip, and the Chiefs could very well fill most, if not all, of their needs just via free agency before they even get to the draft. And you kind of look at him now, 7 days later, and doesn't really seem like there's quite as many needs as there were a week ago.
And it would have probably changed my first pick, which is Xavier Worthy, last week, because Marquise Hollywood-Brown is essentially Xavier Worthy. I know you're only getting him for 1 year, and I think he'll outprice himself the next go-around market, because if he has a good year, he's on a prove-it-year deal. It's like our friend Trez used to say, contract year's undefeated. He's got a lot of justification to be good. It's like a waiter or waitress. They make money by being tips, by being good at what they do. Well, he's got a chance to get $30, $40 million, Hollywood Brown, by having a good year with Patrick Mahomes, which is perfect. But he's at the combine at 166 pounds when he was at the combine coming out of Oklahoma. And then you got Xavier Worthy, 165. So those people worried about size, they were the same size guy. And Xavier Worthy's a couple inches taller than Hollywood Brown. Now, Hollywood Brown's, you know, hitting mid-170s probably at this point.
Yeah, he put on some weight, yeah.
He didn't run at the combine. Or his pro day, had that Liz Frank injury he was coming off of. Many reports already ran a 4.27 at his pro day. It's like he didn't participate in his pro day, I do believe. But he's a fast guy. He's a game changer and a game breaker. Now, it's a lot like Xavier Worthy. They're a lot like the same type of guys. So I see the Chiefs. I probably would have gone Tez Walker in the first round had they already picked up Hollywood Brown, just to have somebody a little bit different. Now, Brian Thomas, who I really want for the Kansas City Chiefs because of his size, is 6'3", and he runs a 4.33. But you're right, things change. And definitely, but to me, the goal is still wide receiver in the first round. That remains the impetus, because in 4 years, you don't look back and say you didn't select a wide receiver in the first round, the wide receiver draft. But yeah, Chris Jones coming back, that's huge. We have to wait and see what L'Jarius Sneed does. Maybe the answer will be when this plays on Saturday. It looks like to me he's going to be back, and if anything happens, draft day type trade with L'Jarius Sneed. But since you and I talked, defensive line was a big issue, but you bring back Turk Wharton, Mike Pinnell, Derek Nnadi for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, yeah.
So we'll
get to that.
Yeah, and we'll get to the L'Jarius Sneed trade situation, because it's real wild. You have dueling reports coming out about it. And then we'll also go around a shift in draft picks for the Kansas City Chiefs because of a mistake in the distribution of compensatory picks, and any other free agent draft news that could, probably will, affect the Chiefs coming up. But we'll start, as you just brought up, you just mentioned, Bink, the signings that the Chiefs made within the last week. We obviously know a week from this past Saturday, Chris Jones signed a 5-year deal worth just over $158 million. Drew Tranquil, linebacker, 3 years, $19 million for the Chiefs, $13 million of that is, $12.5 million is guaranteed. Hollywood Brown, 1-year deal, $7 million. It could go up to 11 based on incentives. Safety Deion Bush signed a 1-year deal. Tight end Irv Smith Jr., who was previously with the Bengals, signed a 1-year deal.
It could be the end of Blake Bell when you see this type of moves.
Yeah, very
Irv
much
Smith,
came off
former
as a Blake
first
Bell
rounder out of Alabama.
And then three defensive tackles got signed, aside from Chris Jones, which were Turk Wharton on a one-year $2.75 million deal. And then one-year deals, I didn't see the numbers, for Mike Pinnell, who was their best run defender in the Super Bowl, and Derek Nnadi coming back on a one-year deal. The losses, guard Nick Allegretti got a two-year deal, $16 million from Washington. So 40% of their offensive line played for the Chiefs when they won the Super Bowl in 22. Punter Tommy Townsend got a two-year deal worth $6 million from Houston, which was a lot of money to be paying your punter.
Which shows you where Houston is, that they're willing to put that. And by the way, I messed up earlier. I said Irv Smith's first round. He was a second round
pick.
So he was a pick 50, so he was pick 50. But yes, as far as some of these moves, the Chiefs are losing. Going back to Drew Tranquil for a second. Remember they brought him in last year on a one-year deal?
Yeah.
Now he's going to be 3 years, $19 million, but really only 12.5 guaranteed.
Money. It's great money for a that's a great money. That's great for the Chiefs.
But you're not going to get Hollywood Brown for that if he performs this year. So
no.
I know they bring back Drew Tranquil after a one-year deal, but you're not going to see that with Hollywood Brown.
I was surprised that Tranquil signed for the kind of money he did. I figured he'd get a little bit more than that with the way he played. But yeah, it's a great deal for the Chiefs. Another guy that the Chiefs ended up losing, tight end Jody Fortson, who signed with the Dolphins. So you really kind of look at these signs.
Three-ring Jody Fortson, you remember? Three rings he's possessing.
He's had a very
really
nice career.
Anything.
He's a very successful career in Kansas City as a third or fourth tight end.
Derek Nnadi's got the 3-2 that they brought back.
He does.
He's been getting these series of one-year deals.
He's got a chance to go back and get another one on a one-year deal. So you look at these moves, and I think we both agree, aside from like Chris Jones and Tranquil, the biggest move the Chiefs made was signing Hollywood Brown. And the way I see it is that it's from a number standpoint, it's great. Because you're not married to him long term. If he's not good, if he has injury issues, if he only gives you, mediocre results, you're good. It's good because you don't like this is what I would have hoped they would have signed MVS for, because, you look at MVS's deal. He was being paid a lot of money to not really produce a whole lot. And especially this past season, he didn't really produce. I don't think he had 300 receiving yards on the season. So it's like he panned out in the playoffs and he made a couple of really big catches for them. But this was the kind of deal I was hoping MVS was going to get instead of the 3 years, 30. So you look at this as like, this is the kind of deal that works out great for him because he gets to show that he's really a top-tier receiver, and it's great for the Chiefs because you get the kind of receiver that you've needed for a while, and you get a guy like Hollywood who I think opens things up that you haven't had. I think he kind of gives you, at the very minimum, what they were hoping that Kadarius Toney would be last year, which is that gadget guy. You can throw it to him underneath. And if you get the ball in his hands, he's electric with it, and he makes plays, makes guys miss, and breaks open the offense.
You'll see him on jet sweeps a lot. You'll see Hollywood Brown there. The other thing, too, is you'll see him down the field, and you want to see Mahomes air the ball out. He will to Hollywood Brown. And here's the thing with MVS. He did run a 4.37, right, the combine. He did possess some speed.
Yeah, he had the speed.
But he wasn't hauling the ball in until the postseason. He wasn't doing it. Now, Hollywood Brown, his drop rate was 3%. For a career, it's 3.6%. He had three drops last year, three drops the year before. I think he had nine his rookie year, but that's come down exponentially since he's been working on it. But you want dependability in some separation, let Mahomes air it out. He fills a couple roles for the Chiefs. He fills that down the field Justin Watson type situation because Justin Watson was the big play receiver for this team, and he fills that that need of MVS. Smaller than MVS because MVS is about 6'4". I don't think he played the 6'4".
You would never guess he was 6'4".
No, I don't think he ever played that. I do also like the fact that Hollywood Brown was nicknamed and asked today in his press conference, Marquise or Hollywood? What should we call you? And he said Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's going to call him Marquise except for the announcers.
But let's I make a mistake. Gus Johnson named him in 2017 when he's with Oklahoma. It was Gus and Joel Klatt on the show. And he goes, Hollywood Brown, where did this guy come from? And Joel Klatt goes, Hollywood, Florida. He's named Hollywood because he came out of Hollywood, Florida. But Gus Johnson tried everything to get Marvin Harrison Jr. called Maserati Marv. It's not going to take – he did. He was kept calling him Maserati Marv. Hope, yeah,
I've literally never heard anyone say that.
Gus called it Maserati Marv all the time.
I guess.
Ohio State were mad about it because they didn't like it. They didn't like
not
the nickname.
A good nickname.
But Hollywood Brown stuck with Marquise Brown. He can thank Gus Johnson I even retweeted a tweet back from like 2019 or something like that. With had the actual call when Gus Johnson's calling him Hollywood Brown.
Maserati Mar. Oh no, Hollywood Brown. Yeah,
I love it. Lights, camera, action.
Yeah, I am. For me, it was like this was like the perfect signing for this team. Just it gives them everything they need, and it's on a very, very team friendly deal. And you know, the way I see it is, if you're in the position of the Chiefs, you need these kind of deals when you're on the middle of this run, because you are paying some guys premium contracts. You just gave a lot of money, give a little bit under $32 million a year to Chris Jones per year. You got Patrick Mahomes on a fat contract, though there's some manipulation that they're doing with that every year to kind of push that number down by a pretty significant amount. Travis Kelce's not on the most expensive deal, but they're still paying him a good amount of money. You still got Joe Tooney on a big money contract.
Who did restructure, by the way.
Oh, he did restructure that? Okay, good. Yeah, because I know that his cap hit was like $26 million. So that's good.
That gives SpotRack reported on that. It's kind of an under-radar thing, because usually those things are talked about a lot. But
right.
Sometimes the Chiefs do things quietly as well.
I thought that there was potential that would happen.
As far as restructuring, they sometimes. This is from SpotRack today. $2 million of guard Joe Tooney's $16 million in 2024 is now fully guaranteed.
Okay.
All $20 million of Juwan Taylor's 2025 compensation is now fully guaranteed. And for Juwan, that's 2025. So yeah. you better hope he pans out, which I thought he played well last year.
Yeah, they can't get out of it until after next
season. I thought
he
played well last year. Early on was the holdings. And, well, right. He had some holdings later on, too, but his footwork and everything at right tackle, hopefully that can be reduced. But he was very efficient for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Bottom line is, these free agency moves that they made, I don't think affect the draft in the direction they go. Maybe defensive line, the dependency when you just had Neil Farrell under contract. Now you've got all these other guys under contract, some just for a year, but that's fine. It's not as urgent a situation to go defensive line early for the Chiefs as it has been in the past. I think offensive line, and I think wide receiver, still prominent for the first round. I go wide receiver, though. I'm not messing around with this draft with wide receivers.
I don't think offensive line is something they're going to... I'll be very surprised if they go offensive line.
Because I think you can get a better quality wide receiver at this point, even if you're sitting at 32, than you can probably the last of the first round picks of offensive linemen.
Yeah,
because both of them could touch a record. The record's right. 7 for both.
Yeah, the way I see it is like, I don't think you need to reach on tackle, and I kind of think you would be, because I think a lot of tackles are going to go first round. So I think you'd be reaching if you go 1 at 32. I think you are.
Like Tyler Guyton or Jordan Morgan at the end of the first round.
And like, I don't even, the thing is like, Guyton's probably a right tackle.
He is, and Morgan did play left tackle.
Yeah, Morgan
last
did
year
play.
In Arizona.
Yeah.
Guyton played on the right side.
He was a right tackle. So it's like, why would you take another right tackle? Like, who are you moving over to left? Like, you've got a guy.
Because Wanye did both.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He did both. And he actually played more snaps at left than he did at right when he was in college. He just played right his last year when he was at Oklahoma. But he actually played more snaps.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the left side, the way I see it is, and this is the reason why I don't think they you know, I don't think it will happen that they will go offensive line first round. I just, the way I see it is, there's a reason why they dressed Wanier in those games middle last year and started him. And there's a reason why the Chiefs haven't been aggressive at going getting a veteran guy to kind of give some depth. And they might do that later on. But the way I see it is, they're the kind of team, if they're confident in you, they're going to give you a chance. And I think this is going to be Wanier's year to go and do it.
Well, Donovan Smith remains out there. He did have some injury concerns, but
I think the injury concerns might end up hurting
but
his value.
For a guy just to have in there and throw him in once in a while and, you know, go back and forth with him and Wanier,
I can see that. I could see them going and him being the insurance guy.
He could be
playing behind
guy.
Wanier.
Like, he'd come in extremely cheap. He'd be able to teach the younger guys.
The way I see it is, first round, you go wide receiver, so you at least have one guy besides Rashi that's under your control.
We're on the same page on that.
Years. And then I think after that, then you take some shots at some future positions you're going to need to hit. I do think defensive tackle is a position that you don't need to go early, but my thing is, I would probably still do it just so you have a guy under that rookie contract, because aside from Jones and Farrell, all your other guys are one-year deal guys. So Nadi's one-year deal. Turk's one-year deal. MV Pinnell, he's one year deal. So it's like, you got five DTs on your roster right now. Three of them are only on the roster till the end of the year. And, you know, Nadi's getting into his late 20s. And I think Pinnell is late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, he's like 32, Pinnell.
Yeah, like Pinnell's been
a resurgence in his career.
He's been around the block. And it's just like, you got to get younger, you got to get cheaper, and you got to get some guys on rookie contracts that you don't have to worry about having to re-sign every year. And so the way I see it is, after, you know, this year, you probably go get a defensive tackle somewhere on the second day. And that way you at least have a guy under contract for 4 years. You don't have to think about the depth nearly as much as you are right now, where you're furiously trying to sign a bunch of DTs to one-year deals so you can kind of fill out your roster.
You know, I think getting the pick for Snead is, I mean, if you're believing all the talk about the knee, and I remember Tony Pauline mentioning this back at the draft. Pauline's been a guy that used to work for Draft Network, and he's all over the draft. Carrington had tweeted it out today that teams are concerned with the knee. Matt Verderam brought up the fact that, you know, he was missing a lot of time up in camp. But if they could get a second-round pick for Snead and be able to move up and package five or six picks, and if I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them packaging that, the 32 and a second-round pick.
So I want to get into the Snead talk, as you just brought up. And this whole saga has been really, really weird, because, you know, as I'm sure many of you guys listening know, there's been someone on Twitter who goes by the moniker Pretty Ricky, who's been out here unidentified as far as we know. And this person anonymously has been tweeting out the correct moves in free agency for a lot of teams.
He has.
This person has accurately tweeted out about Hollywood Brown signing with the Chiefs and a myriad of other moves. But one of the interesting things that came out was how Pretty Ricky was saying that the Chiefs and Colts, it was the Colts and Titans that they said was involved in trade talks with the Chiefs for Snead services. And then they specifically said that the Colts were going to be the one to land him, and that they were more so working on a contract right now with L'Jarius Snead on an extension, as opposed, you know, that the deals had basically been hammered out on the trade. They just needed to agree to an extension for Snead. And then today, and nothing happened over the weekend, and then today, Adam Schefter reported on the Pat McAfee show that there have been no talks at all between the Chiefs on a trade for Snead.
Their beat writers saying the same thing.
Yeah, and so there's been this dueling reports coming out about there being no trade talks, no agreement, or, you know, talks of a couple of picks being offered for Snead, including a 24 third-round pick and then a 25 pick somewhere. I mean, this whole thing is very confusing. A lot of the issues, I think, stem from Snead's contract demands, his number being really high, and the fact that a lot of teams are kind of worried about that knee that Snead has. Because, I mean, we all know it was a pretty common occurrence here in Kansas City. Snead would be listed as questionable because of his knee, because there's swelling in it and whatnot. And, you know, it was a pretty common thing, but teams are obviously going to be very serious about that when you got a guy who's on a third year, who's going for their second contract. So, I mean, you kind of look at this scenario here. What do you think is the best development for the Chiefs? They bring Snead back for a year. He plays on the tag. You just try to have the best defense you could possibly have to try to three-peat. Or do you deal him for the best of offer, get his contract off the books so you don't have to worry about that next year, and then you get a pick that you can use to go get some more ammo?
Obviously, I'd like to get him a second-round pick at this point, an early one. Not a late one, an early one, so it could be packaged with 32, because he's not going to be a long-term contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's the thing, $19.8 million. $21 million's the top in the market right now. Jair Alexander's 21. Jalen Johnson just signed for a little over $19.5 million, you know, in his extension. So he fits right there. As we sit down, he'd be the fourth highest paid corner if you got the tag number at 19.8. The tag number is very, very similar to his full contract number. Carrington had tweeted out today. He says, a couple things I can report confirm regarding L'Jarius Sneed. No team has made a second-round offer. Number two, Sneed's desire to become the highest-paid cornerback in the league, and that's been the major holdup, which I think so. I think the compensation can be agreed upon, but I think Sneed wants that long-term stability. Hey, he wants to get his money now because you never know how bad this injury is. Is it going to affect him or not? Here's the other thing. Can he pass physical with another team? That's a big one. Like, if he agrees on money, if he goes in for physical, can he pass that? The Chiefs are fine with him playing on the tag next season. I do believe that's true. They've already cleared the money under the cap. And the most concerning, I believe the medicals are concerning. This has been reported on by several people, including Carrington today. And that's a huge concern if you're wanting to pay $21-22 million.
So, yeah, here's my thought on the whole scenario. If I were another team and I was looking for to go and acquire a great corner and to help bolster my defense, and the guy that was maybe the best candidate for what I wanted was a guy that has, I mean, very obvious, noticeable injury issues with his knee, constant swelling. This is an issue that's been going on, I think, for 2 years now.
Training camp, we don't forget.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
A lot of it during training camp. He missed a lot of time. And he wants to be paid the highest amount that a cornerback has made at that position.
Which it's not far off the franchise number.
It's not that far million. Off. Yeah. Like it's about $21-22 million for the top end for that position. And he's getting paid, I think, $19.8 million right now on the tag.
He'd be the fourth highest paid corner right now if he plays under the tag.
And not only that, but there's also the prospect of you having to trade a day two pick somewhere, second or third round, to go get him and then pay him. And I know that the Chiefs have done it and it's worked. You know, it worked with Orlando Brown Jr. It worked with Frank Clark. But it's just not that economic to, it's not that efficient to make that kind of a move for a team. I mean, Bill Parcells, who, you know, is one of the best coaches that the NFL's had, was vehemently against trading for guys and then immediately paying them a premium contract. And, you know, the way I see it is this. I think Snead's a great player, but the problem is that there's not that many teams that can utilize Snead the way the Chiefs utilize Snead. Snead is a press cover corner. That's what he does. That's what he's best at. He's good in zone. He's good playing in the slot, which, I mean, right now, considering what he does on the outside, why would you ever play him in the slot unless you were having him shadow and then, you know, sending him blitzing every now and then? But he's one of those guys that there's very few teams in the league that can really tap into his potential fully. And the Chiefs are one of the few teams that can do it. I think the Cowboys can because they kind of play a similar system as far as like press man coverage and whatnot. But there's just not that many teams that play as much man coverage to justify trading what you would have to trade and then paying him what you'd have to pay him. And so I just think from a strategic standpoint, he doesn't fit with what most teams want. And so it's like you got to trade a second or a third. I think right now it seems like it'll be a third. And you got to pay him the highest paid contract for a corner. To me, efficiency-wise, doesn't really quite fit.
And there's corners in this draft as well. The Chiefs have proven to be able to get corners in the draft.
It's not a super deep corner class, but you can get them
especially
in the
rounds
first
five through seven. Rounds five through seven, you got to get them before that because
yes.
five through seven is weak.
Five through seven is tough, man. It's tough.
It's tough. But, you know, they drafted Shamari Connor. I know different position. He's more of a safety. He plays nickel and everything else. Like, Shamari Connor, I do believe, was, you know, to fill a lot of those different roles.
I think so, too.
That Snead had. I wouldn't trade him in the AFC. And who knows the Colts? It depends on Anthony Richardson, how good they are. But right now, I look at the AFC as being pretty weak. I think Buffalo comes off that first tier, and so does Cincinnati. And I think that, well, Baltimore will be up there with the Chiefs. I think Houston is that surprise team that jumps up there as well. So you keep them the hell away from Houston or Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Buffalo. I guess Colts, if you get a good enough draft pick, but I'm either keeping him or he's going to the NFC.
So
and the NFC's not really jumping in except for Minnesota.
So, I mean, I think it'd be if you were like trying to trade a wide receiver, I could understand that. I don't think Snead, again, and I brought this up, is like, A, I don't think he would fit with the Bills because the Bills run so much zone coverage.
Oh, which, by the way, speaking of the Bills, Tre'Davious White released from the Bills. He was the last of the guys that were part of that Mahomes trade down because they picked him at 27. But he's the last of that Mahomes picks that they got. So that's you can well, the Chiefs won that trade, we know that, but Buffalo's got nobody left from that.
But like he wouldn't be a scheme fit for the Bills or the Bengals because they're zone teams.
Heavy Dave Merritt and Steve Spagnuolo are just different cats, man. They're just different cats how they use players.
Like, I mean, Lou Anarumo loves to drop eight and sit in three and just have everyone play zone. Like,
what is zone blitz?
This is what he does. I mean, McDermott, who, he's not the DC there, but he's basically the one that calls the defense there. Because, I mean, he let Frazier do his thing, but he wanted Frazier to work within certain parameters.
Yeah,
he
did.
He's like, I'm tired of this dude. But, like, all they did was just play zone. Like, they were just a zone-heavy team, didn't play a ton of man. They played some hybrid coverage here and there, but it was mostly zone. And if you're playing a whole bunch of zone with Snead, you're wasting him. So, from a scheme fit, it doesn't fit there. I mean, I think it's kind of the same thing with D'Amico Ryans in Houston because D'Amico Ryans loves to run a lot of zone coverage. And when he was a San Fran, he did it all the time, too. So, I mean, really, you kind of look at it and it's like, I mean, maybe the Ravens would be a fit, but I don't think they would trade him to the Ravens. And I'm not really sure if the Colts are really about running a ton of man coverage, really. And I know they got some good their defense has some talent on there with like Buckner and Kenny Moore, who I think they just gave a pretty decent payday to. But I just don't think there's that many teams that can utilize him the way that he's used in Kansas City. And so really you kind of look at it and it's like, I don't really think that his value is there for most teams.
And it could just be the Colts at this point. I don't know, the Titans' interest, supposedly it's there. You want a bidding war. You want teams elevating that draft pick to stand out. But they got to do not only do the draft pick to satisfy the Chiefs, they've got to satisfy the player with this contract.
You know what surprises me, though? And I think I'm wrong about when I said about the Cowboys. I think the team that's probably the best fit for him outside of the Chiefs would be the Vikings. Because
he fits with the Vikings.
You got Brian Flores. Brian Flores blitzes probably more than anybody in the league.
Yeah, he definitely fits there. But I don't know their interest because they spent a lot of money in other places.
They were one of the teams that was into it. But I think
they backed off.
But they backed off. And you know, the Vikings have made some other moves elsewhere. But like, to me, it always made sense for him to go to Minnesota more than anything just because he's a perfect fit. Because Brian Flores, if there's anybody that is close to being what Spags is as far as being aggressive and challenging quarterbacks with pressure and playing a lot of man coverage on the back end, it would be the Vikings and what Brian Flores is doing there because he really turned that defense around this year. So
the Vikings are looking to take some of their picks and move up.
Yeah,
they're saying Drake May because of the familiarity with the coaching staff in May, but it's looking more and more like J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. I'm still sticking that's who they trade up for.
And we'll get more into that here in a little bit, but the way I see it is, if I'm the Chiefs, at this point, if no one's offering me a two, I'm going to just keep Snead, and I'm going to just run it back
for
a
year,
and then I'll go get a comp pick next year.
Because I'm not giving him away.
Yeah, because like I think right now, this is one of those years where you go all in for this year. You're not, because like, look, if Snead leaves for nothing and you just get a comp pick, that's not going to kill you. Like you already got good depth at cornerback without Snead. You're probably going to take another one next year anyways, but you're not dying because you don't have Snead on your roster going into 25.
Well, the Chiefs just realized, they realize where the market is. They realize it's defensive backs. Again, 2 years ago, you had five rookie defensive backs in that Eagles Super Bowl game. Don't forget, you got Nick Johnson coming back, doing Dazzie Johnson, that they expected big things from in that secondary.
Before he got hurt.
Until he got hurt with that ACL in training camp. I mean, he's coming back. So they've got some talent. Brian Cooks can come back with his injury.
And that's another very quiet, you know, guy coming back is Brian Cook, because, you know, they, you know, eventually like Mike Edwards and Shamari Conner were able to come in and play really
well. I love
the
way Edwards played.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys play really well in the secondary, but like, you got to think about it. Like, they were missing probably their second best safety in Brian Cook after the Packers game. So like, getting him back is going to be really
nice.
They're
a safety heavy team.
Yeah.
Even though the rest of the league's kind of going away from safeties.
Well, they're going away from the big expensive ones.
It's too high now. They're taking away the deep ball. The deep ball.
Yeah, everybody's going
exponentially
now
lower than it's been in the
right,
NFL.
Yeah, teams are going cheaper now because, like, why pay a guy a bunch of money to sit back and
they're
just
going
play
away, not
field?
Like the fullback, which is completely obsolete at times.
Yeah, it's not doing that.
But it's dropping. Its value has dropped in the NFL, the safeties.
Yeah, I mean, mainly because of the fact that there's
people want hybrids now.
Well, yeah, you want the hybrid guys. You don't want, I mean, there's not a whole lot of room for, you know, the one Thornhills are just going to sit back and play, you know, center field. And, you know, a lot of teams now are running a lot of too high. And the value really isn't kind of the star position guys, just because they can play so many roles. But you don't need to pay a whole bunch of safeties like that, you know. And not only that, but like, so many of those guys are coming out of college having played that role, that you can just keep drafting guys that are younger and get that physical demand, you know, have that physical demand filled by a younger guy. So you're not paying a guy who's 29, 30 years old to go out there and do that. And that was a big reason why the Chiefs didn't want to bring back Matthew, because he was like 30 years old, and he was still running around there trying to.
Saints keep bringing him back.
And it works for him because, you know, Dennis Allen's that kind of guy. But, you know, a lot of these teams out here are trying to get younger at that position. So, but I do think that this is a situation where I would just bring him back. If you're not going to get a second round pick for him, bring him back. Get him for one more year. And try to see if you can have a top five defense again and a better offense, get that three-peat so that you can make history.
I actually don't mind second round. This draft is absolutely loaded in the second round.
I just don't think they're going to get a second round pick for him.
I would hope so. I mean, the first round, that's out of the realm. It's not going to happen, first rounder.
And I never believed that anyway.
Second rounder, that starts becoming more possible. Who knows? It'd be so valuable to have one, because I think the second round is loaded. If they could have... It's picking at 32, which is essentially a second-round pick, is the last of the first round, a mid-second-round pick, plus their regular second-round pick, which is at the end of the second round, which essentially is a third-round pick.
I mean, nice I would do it for a mid-second. Picks. I just don't think the market is...
It'd be nice to have someone in between their
we
picks.
We have not heard anything about a team even offering them a second-round pick. It's just all been speculation. So I don't think a second-round pick's on the table. I think it's a third and maybe another pick for 25. And because I don't think that that's really a market that exists for them, I just say, keep him for a year, get your comp pick, try to run it back, try to win a Super Bowl. You've done a great job of constructing your roster. You don't need to force things with them. All right, so let's get to some of the other news affecting the Kansas City Chiefs. Starting with the draft picks, there was a mistake in the distribution of compensatory picks that we talked about last week. And so the Chiefs actually are going to be moving back a few picks, starting on day three. So here's the new rundown for all the draft picks that the Chiefs will currently have. Round one, pick 32. Round two, pick 64. Round three, pick 95. And then on day three, round four, pick 132, which is one back from 131. Round five, pick 159, which is one back from pick 158. This is the pick that they got for Dallas via trade. Round five, pick 173, which is one back from the 172 that they had. That's a compensatory pick. And then round seven, 252, which they already had.
Yeah, just that one pick. It's because the Bengals. They had to give the Bengals a third round pick, so it shifted everything behind. But essentially, those first two picks are the dead last picks in each round. In the first round, the second round, they're dead last picks. In the third round, it's where a lot of the comps started. So the Chiefs were 95th, which was last. And all of a sudden, you got these comp picks thrown in there with Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, and the Rams and Washington. So there's still six teams picking after the Chiefs in the third round. But the first two rounds, they're picking dead last in the round, which, again, like, first round is like a second round, that last pick, and the second round is like a third round.
So you kind of look at this, and let's say that the Chiefs get a third round pick for Snead. Let's say a deal does happen with Snead. Let's say they move him, they get a third round pick, and then they get a day three pick in 25, and maybe it's a conditional pick. Maybe
the Colts
it's like
pick 82nd in that round.
Yeah,
so it'd be 13 spots above where they pick now.
So, in that instance, how do you think that affects the Chiefs' draft strategy if they were to get that second, third round pick, that pick 82? I think you just said.
I think you go wide receiver in the first round, tackle is one of your second round picks, and I think you go wide receiver and or tight end in the third round as one of your picks. If you do get that extra pick in the third round, I could see them go. You're going to go best available at this point after the third round, which could be corner. I wanted to get two receivers and a tight end in this draft, or this draft in Detroit. That's, I think, the minimum is two receivers, because we saw one last year with Rashee Rice, and they got it right, which I think should give people confidence in Brett Veach's selections of wide receivers. But I'd throw more darts. You and I did. We did our mock draft. We took a tight end, and we took two wide receivers.
Yeah.
And I believe at least three pass catchers in this draft is what you should do.
I think for sure two receivers have to be on the Chiefs, in the Chiefs draft for this year.
Could be like a Luke McCaffrey later on, like we had in our mock.
you would die if Luke McCaffrey was out there. He would be so happy.
Why not?
So, yeah, I think first round for sure. I think you got to go receiver still. I want best available receiver that you can get at 32 if it's worthy, if it's Tez. I'm not a huge fan of Troy Franklin. If AD's there.
Troy's several times there, but he's a lot of times in the second round, which I like. I don't think he's probably the first round.
I think he probably is like a mid-second. I just think there's some concerns there about drops, concerns about his route tree, and just like, to me, he seems like a little bit slower Mecole Hardman type. So
I don't know if he fits.
Yeah, I don't think he fits, just because there's not a lot of advancement in his route tree. So, but I definitely think receiver in the first round for sure. Second round, I really want them to go deep, defensive tackle. And I know they got five on the roster right now. You need some that are under team control for more than a year.
If you're picking earlier in the second round, I think you might be able to get a Newton.
I think you might be able to get...
But picking right where they're at...
I think you might be able to get Tavondre.
At the end of the second round, you're not getting Tavondre.
You might.
They've got to get a pick earlier.
You might be able to get him at the end of the second round.
Maybe.
I think you might be able to get him.
He was available in our mock draft.
He was. He's been available in every mock draft we've done that we've gotten to the second round. Or any I've done has gotten to the second round. Obviously, that's, you know, PFF's thing, but I think he might be there at 64. I don't feel the need for tackle as much as a lot of people do. So, and I definitely don't think I would hit it in the second round, just because, again, you got Juwan Taylor under contract for at least two more years before you can get rid of him. And I really think that they like Wanye a lot more than we think they would.
I think they do too. And I think you're looking at a situation here with what they draft and that second, third wave of free agency, third wave at that point. Whoever they do not end up getting in the draft for a project, I could see like a Donovan Smith, a late addition like that for him.
I can see that too.
I think that's on the table if they don't get what they want in Detroit. Or if they don't feel that the young player they're bringing in would have the experience.
Right. Or if they just don't feel like the tackles is good after a certain number.
But I think third wave of free agency becomes pretty prevalent with the Chiefs if they're not able to draft who they want.
Because we obviously saw that, like, in, was it 21, when the Chiefs needed a left tackle and they opted to trade their first round pick to go get Orlando Brown Jr. because they were like, these potential tackles.
Same Cosme, Leatherwood, Eichenberg.
Didn't work out. Who was the other one? Tevin Jenkins was another one. And none of those guys are playing tackle.
Cosme played well, but he was moved.
No, he didn't.
A lot of guys right side or right guard.
Cosme didn't play well at tackle. He got moved in very quickly.
To guard, yeah. What I'm saying is they did play. Well, he's played well on the offensive line.
He's played well as a guard now. But yeah,
guard. They weren't left tackles. No. They weren't left tackles.
Yeah, Cosme didn't even play. He was a right tackle.
Leatherwood got shipped away from the Raiders real quick. Ended up with the Bears for a while. year.
Is that Leatherwood? I don't think Leatherwood's on a roster right
that
now.
COVID year was a really
rough year. It was a wreck. But and here's the thing I'll say about tight end. It has to be day three at this point for me. Just because, like, right now they got three tight ends on their roster in Kelsey, Gray, and Irv Smith Jr. So it's like, are you really going to carry four tight ends, or are you just going to are you going to cut somebody?
Well, Irv Smith's a pass catch upgrade. That's over Bell.
And that's my thing is, like, to me, he kind of fits what they like, because now with Irv on their roster, they can run that 13 personnel that they're running in 22,
having the three,
and they can trust all three tight ends on the field now. Yeah. So it's like, are you going to carry? Now they did carry four that year because they had those guys, and they had Blake, they had Gray, they had Kelsey, and they had Jody, and it worked. But Blake Bell didn't see very much time on the field. If the Chiefs are drafting a tight end, I want to see the tight end be on the field. I want to see the tight end on the field a lot. That guy that they just drafted on the field a lot. So unless they're going to cut one of those other two guys, not named Kelsey. To me, I don't know if I'm using a pick on that guy this year. Now, if they see a guy they really like and they think he'll beat out Irv or he'll beat out Gray, then, you know.
Which Irv did struggle at times with Cincinnati. I mean, they used him a little bit at their first tight end for a while, but then as it got towards the end, he was replaced and everything else. But he it's not exactly like he lit the world on fire with Cincinnati.
Well, yeah, and I think we know that just because he was available and he only signed a 1-year deal.
He's kind of disappointed ever since the Vikings, too. You know, yeah. He had some flashes, but it's a guy that you hope to make him better.
And he was like a good third option. And he was a second option, actually, with the Vikings, I think. So, and he was like a good second option, but he wasn't like a – he was getting the kind of usage that like Noah Gray was getting, or maybe a little less than that. So, but – I think because he is a guy that can, you know, play the traditional tight end role and catch passes, I think that gives him some value because he's got some experience there. And I kind of feel like he would get more time on the field than a rookie unless rookie was amazing.
A little bit undersized. He's 6'2", which usually you like to see tight ends running around 6'4", 6'5". But he plays bigger.
Yeah, he does play bigger. So I kind of feel like that position might... We'll wait. I'll wait and see on that because I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs decided to skip tight end this year and just go with more experience in the offense. Just because
last year was that tight end draft, man.
It was, and we sat here and we were like, they got to get one this year.
Dalton Kincaid.
It would have been great if they would have got Kincaid or Tucker Kraft, who actually turned out to be really good for the Packers this year.
We tried.
We did. I mean, all we could do was talk about it. So, I think. Now you look at the way the team is structured. There aren't any needs for this year. But for the long term, there's some guys you want to get. There's some guys you want to get just for depth purposes and to solve future problems. So getting into other news, free agency in the draft. We obviously talked about last week the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million deal. I think that effectively takes the Falcons out of the quarterback race, which means that now we have one less potential team that could take a quarterback in the first round.
For this year, I agree with you, but I do believe they want a grooming system, and Kirk's the right guy to do
possibly,
it. If you want that Alex Smith.
Possibly. They might wait a year or two.
They might wait 1 or 2 years.
Because they got 4 years of them.
But I see it happening. But I didn't like the signing. I like Kirk Cousins, but I don't like giving somebody 100 guaranteed. That's 36 years old, coming off an Achilles, and has one playoff win.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
Yeah, I know. I fully believe... like. Kirk Cousins has scammed a lot of teams.
The Achilles
in
36. I mean,
he is scammy. He scammed the Vikings.
Tim Tebow has as many playoff wins.
Yes. It's not good. Dude. Alex Smith has more playoff wins than
it concerns me.
Yeah, he has more playoff wins than Kirk Cousins does.
Listen, he's a great guy. Throws a nice ball.
Very nice guy. Very nice dude, man.
Nice guys. I mean,
very nice guy.
No,
not nice a guy that would pay 100. Like, I would be
frustrated.
Actually,
nice guys do win because Mahomes is a nice guy and he wins. But
I would be very frustrated if I was a Falcons fan.
I would too.
Other news. In the division, the Chargers, they released wide receiver Mike Williams, and they traded away wide receiver Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick to Chicago. This was very, very surprising. I was I was surprised that they cut Mike Williams because he's younger than Keenan Allen. I thought Keenan Allen might be the one that they cut just because of age. But also them trading away Keenan Allen after that, after you cut and got under the cap, you cut Keenan Allen. I mean, you trade away Keenan.
Out of the realm. It's not going to happen. First rounder.
And I never believed that anyways.
Second rounder, that starts becoming more possible. Who knows? It'd be so valuable to have one because I think the second round is loaded. If they could have... It's picking at 32, which is essentially a second-round pick. It's the last of the first round. A mid-second-round pick plus their regular second-round pick, which is at the end of the second round, which essentially is a third-round pick.
Nice, I would do it for a mid-second. Picks. I just don't think the market is...
It'd be nice to have someone in between their
we
picks.
We have not heard anything about a team even offering them a second-round pick. It's just all been speculation. So I don't think a second-round pick's on the table. I think it's a third and maybe another pick for 25. And because I don't think that that's really a market that exists for them, I just say keep him for a year, get your comp pick, try to run it back, try to win a Super Bowl. You've done a great job of constructing your roster. You don't need to force things with them. All right, so let's get to some of the other news affecting the Kansas City Chiefs. Starting with the draft picks, there was a mistake in the distribution of compensatory picks that we talked about last week. And so the Chiefs actually are going to be moving back a few picks starting on day three. So here's the new rundown for all the draft picks that the Chiefs will currently have. Round one, pick 32. Round two, pick 64. Round three, pick 95. And then on day three, round four, pick 132, which is one back from 131. Round five, pick 159, which is one back from pick 158. This is the pick that they got for Dallas via trade. Round five, pick 173, which is one back from the 172 that they had. That's a compensatory pick. And then round seven, 252, which they already had.
Yeah, just that one pick. It's because the Bengals. They had to give the Bengals a third round pick, so it shifted everything behind. But essentially, those first two picks are the dead last picks in each round. In the first round, the second round, they're dead last picks. In the third round, it's where a lot of the comps started. So the Chiefs were 95th, which is was last. And all of a sudden, you got these comp picks thrown in there with Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, and the Rams and Washington. So there's still six teams picking after the Chiefs in the third round. But the first two rounds, they're picking dead last in the round, which, again, like first round is like a second round, that last pick, and the second round is like a third round.
So you kind of look at this, and let's say that the Chiefs get a third-round pick for Snead. Let's say a deal does happen with Snead. Let's say they move him, they get a third-round pick, and then they get a day three pick in 25, and maybe it's a conditional pick. Maybe
the Colts
it's like
pick 82nd in that round.
Yeah.
So it'd be 13 spots above where they pick now.
So... in that instance, how do you think that affects the Chiefs' draft strategy if they were to get that second, third-round pick, that pick 82, I think you just said?
I think you go wide receiver in the first round, tackle is one of your second-round picks, and I think you go wide receiver and or tight end in the third round as one of your picks. If you do get that extra pick in the third round, I could see them go you're going to go best available at this point after the third round, which could be corner. I wanted to get two receivers and a tight end in this draft, or this draft in Detroit. That's, I think, the minimum is two receivers, because we saw one last year with Rashee Rice, and they got it right, which I think should give people confidence in Brett Veach's selections of wide receivers. But I'd throw more darts. You and I did. We did our mock draft. We took a tight end, and we took two wide receivers.
Yeah.
And I believe at least three pass catchers in this draft is what you should do.
I think for sure two receivers have to be on the Chiefs, in the Chiefs draft for this year.
Could be like a Luke McCaffrey later on, like we had in our mock.
you would die if Luke McCaffrey was out there. He would be so happy.
Why not?
So, yeah, I think first round for sure. I think you got to go receiver still. I want best available receiver that you can get at 32 if it's worthy, if it's Tez. I'm not a huge fan of Troy Franklin. If AD's there.
Troy's several times there, but he's a lot of times in the second round, which I like.
I think he probably is like a mid-second. I just think there's some concerns there about drops, concerns about his route tree, and just like to me, He seems like a little bit slower, Mecole Hardman type. So
I don't know if he fits.
Yeah, I don't think he fits just because there's not a lot of advancement in his route tree. So, but I definitely think receiver in the first round for sure. Second round, I really want them to go deep defensive tackle. And I know they got five on the roster right now. You need some that are under team control for more than a year.
If you're picking earlier in the second round, I think you might be able to get a Newton.
I think you might be able to get...
But picking right where they're at...
I think you might be able to get Tavondre.
But at the end of the second round, you're not getting Tavondre.
You might.
They've got to get a pick earlier.
You might be able to get him at the end of the second round.
Maybe.
I think you might be able to get
him. He was available in our mock draft.
He was. He's been available in every mock draft we've done. That we've gotten to the second round, or any I've done has gotten to the second round. Obviously, that's PFF's thing, but I think he might be there at 64. I don't feel the need for tackle as much as a lot of people do. So, and I definitely don't think I would hit it in the second round, just because again, you got Juwan Taylor under contract for at least two more years before you can get rid of him, and. I really think that they like Wanye a lot more than we think they would.
I think they do too, and I think you're looking at a situation here with what they draft and that second, third wave of free agency, third wave at that point. Whoever they do not end up getting in the draft for a project, I could see like a Donovan Smith, a late addition like that for them.
I can see that too.
I think that's on the table if they don't get what they want in Detroit. Or if they don't feel that the young player they're bringing in would have the experience.
Right. Or if they just don't feel like the tackles is good after a certain number.
But I think third wave of free agency becomes pretty prevalent with the Chiefs if they're not able to draft who they want.
Because we obviously saw that, like, in, was it 21, when the Chiefs needed a left tackle and they opted to trade their first round pick to go get Orlando Brown Jr. because they were like, these potential tackles.
Same Cosme, Leatherwood, Eichenberg.
Didn't work out. Who was the other one? Tevin Jenkins was the other one. And none of those guys are playing tackle.
Cosme played well, but he was moved.
No, he didn't.
A lot of guys right side or right guard.
Cosme didn't play well at tackle. He got moved in very quickly.
What I'm saying is they did play. Well, he's played well on the offensive line.
He's played well as a guard now. But yeah, guard.
They weren't left tackles. No. They weren't left tackles.
Yeah, Cosme didn't even play. He was a right tackle.
No, Leatherwood got shipped away from the Raiders real quick, ended up with the Bears for a while last year.
Is that Leatherwood? I don't think Leatherwood's on a roster right now.
That COVID year was a really
rough year. It was a wreck. But and here's the thing I'll say about tight end. It has to be day three at this point for me. Just because, like, right now they got three tight ends on their roster in Kelce, Gray, and Irv Smith Jr. So it's like, are you really going to carry four tight ends? Or are you just going to, are you going to cut somebody?
Well, Irv Smith's a pass catch upgrade. That's over Bell.
And that's my thing is, like, to me, he kind of fits what they like. Because now with Irv on their roster, they can run that 13 personnel that they're running in 22.
Having the three,
and they can trust all three tight ends on the field now. Yeah. So it's like, are you going to carry? Now they did carry four that year because they had those guys, and they had Blake, they had Gray, they had Kelce, and they had Jody, and it worked. But Blake Bell didn't see very much time on the field. If the Chiefs are drafting a tight end, I want to see the tight end be on the field. I want to see the tight end on the field a lot. That guy that they just drafted on the field a lot. So unless they're going to cut one of those other two guys, not named Kelce, to me, I don't know if I'm using a pick on that guy this year. Now, if they see a guy they really like and they think he'll beat out Irv or he'll beat out Gray, then
Which Irv did struggle at times with Cincinnati. I mean, they used him a little bit at their first tight end for a while, but then as it got towards the end, he was replaced and everything else. But he it's not exactly like he lit the world on fire with Cincinnati.
Well, I think we know that just because he was available and he only signed a 1-year deal.
He's kind of disappointed ever since the Vikings, too. He had some flashes, but it's a guy that you hope to make him better.
And he was like a good third option. And he was a second option, actually, with the Vikings, I think. So, and he was like a good second option, but he wasn't like a... He was getting the kind of usage that like Noah Gray was getting, or maybe a little less than that. So, but I think because he is a guy that can, play the traditional tight end role and catch passes, I think that gives him some value because he's got some experience there. And I kind of feel like he would get more time on the field than a rookie unless rookie was amazing.
A little bit undersized. He's 6'2", which usually you like to see tight ends running around 6'4", 6'5". But he plays bigger.
Yeah, he does play bigger. So I kind of feel like that position might... We'll wait. I'll wait and see on that, because I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs decided to skip tight end this year and just go with more experience in the offense, just because
last year was that tight end draft, man.
It was, and we sat here and we were like, they got to get one this year.
Dalton Kincaid.
It would have been great if they would have got Kincaid or Tucker Kraft, who actually turned out to be really good for the Packers this year.
We tried.
We did. I mean, all we could do was talk about it. So, but yeah, I think. Now you look at the way that the team is structured. There aren't any needs for this year. But for the long term, there's some guys you want to get. There's some guys you want to get just for depth purposes and to solve future problems. So getting into other news, free agency in the draft. We obviously talked about last week the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million deal. I think that effectively takes the Falcons out of the quarterback race, which means that now we have one less potential team that could take a quarterback in the first round.
For this year, I agree with you, but I do believe they want a grooming system, and Kirk's the right guy to do
possibly,
it. If you want that Alex Smith.
Possibly. They might wait a year or two.
They might wait 1 or 2 years.
Because they got 4 years of them.
But I see it happening. But I didn't like the signing. I like Kirk Cousins, but I don't like giving somebody 100 guaranteed. That's 36 years old, coming off an Achilles, and has one playoff win.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
Yeah, I know. I fully believe... like. Kirk Cousins has scammed a lot of teams.
The Achilles
in
36. I mean,
he is scammy. He scammed the Vikings.
Tim Tebow has as many playoff wins.
Yes. It's not good. Dude. Alex Smith has more playoff wins than.
It concerns me.
Yeah, he has more playoff wins than Kirk Cousins does.
Listen, he's a great guy. Throws a nice ball.
Very nice guy. Very nice dude, man.
Nice guys. I mean,
very nice guy.
No,
not
nice
a guy
guys
that
win.
Would pay 100. Like, I would be
actually,
frustrated.
Nice guys do win because Mahomes is a nice guy and he wins. But
I would be very frustrated if I was a Falcons
fan. I would too.
Other news. In the division, the Chargers, they released wide receiver Mike Williams and they traded away wide receiver Keenan Allen for a fourth round pick to Chicago. This was very, very surprising. I was surprised that they cut Mike Williams because he's younger than Keenan Allen. I thought Keenan Allen might be the one that they cut just because of age. But also them trading away Keenan Allen after that, after you cut and got under the cap, you cut Keenan Allen. I mean, you trade away Keenan Allen for a fourth round pick.
It's a new look team, man. With that Eckler gone, the Washington.
They don't have any weapons.
This is a new looking Chargers team.
It's a new look. It's a bear.
This ain't your daddy's Chargers team. Yeah,
this is a. This actually probably is my daddy's Chargers team.
And restructuring
the Chargers
Mac
are not a very
Bosa
good team
to keep them, but they don't play.
Like you restructured him. You restructured Mac. And
well, Mac does. Mac's had a pretty good year, but Joey's hurt a lot. It's not like Nick. Nick's production's like off the chart.
But like this thing, you restructured your two best pass rushers. You got rid of your two best receivers and your running back. And now who do you have?
Yep.
You have nothing. Like, who's your running back? Who's your top receiver? Like, I think now this probably assures that they're going to go get Brock Bowers. Whether they trade, where they take him at five, or they trade back and get him, they're probably going to get Brock Bowers or maybe Romo Dunze. But yeah, I think this assures that they get those guys. The Broncos are reportedly very interested in quarterback J.J. McCarthy, but I've been hearing that the Vikings might be interested in him.
I heard they're really interested in him.
They might have to trade up and go get him, which means they're going to have to part with more assets. And they've already traded a bunch of assets to make some bad moves recently with Sean Payton and with what's-his-name, Russell Wilson. The Steelers then traded for Russell. I mean, they signed Russell Wilson to a one-year deal worth about $30 million a year. And then they traded a fourth-round pick in 24 and a sixth-round pick in 25 to go get Justin Fields from the Bears. So the Steelers right now, I actually think this is a great move for the Steelers as far as Russell Wilson goes, because I think Russell Wilson is a little bit better than what we saw. I just didn't think it worked in Denver. But I think this is actually like the perfect situation, because if there's a team out there that is very similar to the Seahawks in terms of build, it's the Steelers. They like to run the football. They like to throw it to their running backs. They like to bomb it down the field, and they like to play great defense. And that's exactly what the Seahawks are about.
But if you wake up and your quarterbacks are Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, go back to sleep.
Now, Justin Fields, I actually think they got a good value for him. Because, like, I think Justin Fields still got talent.
Yeah,
he needs coaching.
It's like the Steelers running a garage sale.
Yeah, he needs coaching. He needs coaching. But I think this is a...
Nice garage, but...
Yeah. I think he's got some talent. I just think he needs some coaching. The Bears reportedly sent their entire scouting team to Oregon State's Pro Day last week.
Fuaga.
Who are they looking at getting? Talisi Fuaga, tackle for Oregon State. And then finally, big news there for the Vikings. They traded a second-round pick, 42, the pick that I think a lot of us thought they might trade for the Chiefs, to the Chiefs for Snead. Their sixth-round pick, 188, and their second-round pick from next year to the Texans to get their 23rd overall pick this year and the 232nd overall pick in the seventh round from the Texans. I was surprised that the Texans agreed to this deal. Why would you?
I love what the Texans did. I put them on that top board. By the way, I wanted to mention this before we go. If you want this podcast, this is a podcast. Obviously, it's on the radio.
Yeah.
You can go download it, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcast. You can get Character Concerns podcast. We put it out each Tuesday. Coming towards the draft, Chris and I will do draft specials. Beginning on April 3rd, once a week, April 3rd, 11th, and like the 18th. We'll do 3 hours of just draft content. Yes. We'll bring on some hopefully prospects and some mock drafters nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and I have a lot of hours between – you can listen to draft because the Royals are on during the afternoon. So Chris and I get to
go. We'll be on almost the entire
Thursday,
draft.
Friday. We have like 4 hours Saturday and a couple hours Sunday to kind of wrap things up. But if you like this, you can download our podcast, Character Concerns, or download this one. But we appreciate it.
We appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to listen to us. For those of you listening on Saturday, we really appreciate y'all running around there and listening to us during the day. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. This has been the Character Concerns Podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.